What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Hot Take, where I, along with my co-host Nat and Lawrence, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. Back here with Nat. Nat,
what's up?
What's up, man? It's been a minute. How's everything been?
Everything's been great on my end. I am a commissioner for a fantasy league. I was down a couple of points yesterday, but now my team made up for it today. I'm over now. I got a pretty thin lead, but I'll take it considering I was down for the past 3 or 4 days. So I'm good now. I'm in a good mood because of that.
I guess that, you know, being a Lakers fan, that's one bright spot, you know, so far this week.
Whoa, that is too early, man.
Oh, sorry. Too early in the show.
Yeah, he's into it, you know.
Sorry, let me back it up a little bit. Let me just say, I just got a compliment real quick. I know people can't see. Love the hair. The hair looks like luscious.
Oh, thank you.
It's like flowing back. Yeah, look at that. I got some shine to it.
Oh yeah.
And the beard's looking gay. Look like, you know, like you.
Oh.
Should we be riding a Harley Davidson or something?
Should we post a video clip of a segment of today's episode on Instagram and just kind of show off my
why not? Look like you could be in Sons of Anarchy there. Riding a Harley Davidson or something. Yeah.
Great show.
100%. Love it.
Yeah.
Great show. You know, for me, I just love the fall. I feel like this is probably my most favorite time of the year. Because you got football, baseball, basketball, all this stuff. I don't really watch hockey, but hockey's in play right now. I love the colors, the cool, crisp air. Yeah. We're not sponsored by Yankee Candle, but I just got a candle plate warmer where you don't have to light your candle. You just put on the warmer and it melts the wax and the candle. My room smells like a Michael's right now. Yeah,
that sounds really fancy.
Grown adult moves right here. Yeah, it honestly smells like you walk right into a Michael's.
Side question: how does it get warmed up?
It's kind of like a burner, but it doesn't burn the actual glass candle or whatever. It just nicely warms it, so the wax starts to melt a little bit.
That is pretty cool. I might need to cop one of those for myself.
Yeah, shout out to Yankee Candle with the spiced pumpkin. It smells really good.
Yes.
It
fits your profile, definitely.
It's on brand.
Yeah.
It's on brand. This week, man, I know you feel the same way. Basketball has been awesome. I'm so happy that basketball is back. In the last episode, what we did was we kind of did our top 10 for East, West. I don't know about you, but I have some changes I would like to make to my list.
Oh boy.
I don't know if you feel the same way. If you have a few,
Hopefully you have the right list. Do you have the right
list? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yes. No mixes on this one.
Jaylen Brown is playing. Just so you know.
Thank you for the clarification. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Do you want to go first? You want me to go first? How do you want to do this?
Since it was your idea to redo this, I think you should go first, lead the way.
Okay, so I'll just kind of do it really quickly. I'll do what my former pick was and what my current pick is. Starting with the West, originally I had LA Lakers, right? Obviously I changed that.
Okay,
I changed that to Phoenix. I had Phoenix number one. Originally I had Phoenix number two, now I have Utah number two. Originally, I had Utah number three. Now I have Golden State number three. Originally, I had Golden State number four. Now I have Denver number four. The Clippers were my original pick for the fifth spot. Now I have the Lakers. I have the Lakers dropping down to five.
Okay.
Memphis stays the same at six. Dallas stays the same at seven. For eight, I had Portland. I now have San Antonio.
San Antonio. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. You put that there.
Okay. Nine. I had Denver. Now I have Minnesota. They weren't on my list before, but now they are.
You clouded me for that. I remember that.
It's a good pick. It's a good pick.
Thank you.
And then number 10, I originally had New Orleans. I now have Portland. So New Orleans is off my list right now.
Okay, good. I'm glad you came to your senses on that one. That's good. okay. So, are we doing West and then East? Are you doing West, East, West, East?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
This was so, West first.
Okay. Okay. So I don't remember what my last one was, so I'll just say my, you know, my updated list.
Sure.
First off, just to mention, you know, as a Lakers fan, you have him fifth, right? You have him fifth?
I have him fifth.
Okay, okay. So just, you know, so first off, I have Suns. Two, I have Golden State Warriors. They're really looking good currently. Yeah, that's right. I'm putting them high. Even without Klay, they're still a formidable team. Three, Denver Nuggets. Four, Utah Jazz. Five, Mavs. I believe I'd say the same for my previous list. So five, Mavs. Six, Blazers. Seven is my Lakers. That's right. Seven Lakers. Eight, I'm putting the Clippers.
Okay.
And then nine is Kings. Ten is Timberwolves. I'm putting the Kings up there now. I didn't have them last time, for sure.
I like the Kings too.
Yeah.
Kings are a border team for me. I'm surprised you have Dallas so high.
Yeah. I have faith in Luka. Even though, okay. Yeah, you're right though. With the J Kid, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment for the first couple of weeks. But I think, because I feel like the West is so open, it's literally just going to be Lakers, Warriors, and then whoever comes out on top after that. Like, it's Lakers, Warriors, and then I don't really know. You know, it's open for anyone to take. So I think Luka's going to be good. I think he'll like carry them through. Blazers have no pieces left. Clippers have no Kawhi for the majority of the season. Nuggets do have the chance to make that leap. And then Jazz, I don't know if they can, you know, perform that well again after the last playoffs. But back to my list, though. 9 and 10, Kings, Timberwolves, or flip, you can flip-flop them. You
know, okay.
Either one. So that's my 10 for now.
Before we move on to the East, I'm assuming the reason why you have the Lakers so low is the reason why I have the Lakers so low. Number one, it's kind of apparent that they're going to need time to get used to playing together.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on top of that, I think we kind of forget, you know, like especially people who like to rank things, myself included, we kind of forget that, especially to someone like LeBron James, I think he fully knows and understands it doesn't matter where, mm-hmm. for the most part, that they're seeded, as long as they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really matter.
And I was thinking that since they were seventh last season with that kind of squad, they were pretty good. I'm thinking for this year, since they're at the moment pretty bad, they have to be, you know, no more than seventh. So seven or above, they got to be, you know. So for now, I'm putting them at the seventh as like the, you know, worst case is their seventh seed.
So since we're on the topic, right, I just want to, because you're the avid Laker fan here, was it like for you to witness what happened last night?
Okay.
Let me go to the season opener. Start with the Golden State Warriors.
Sure.
At home. What was that like for you?
I knew they were going to suck. I picked the Warriors. I think in our podcast predicting the opening season winners, I picked the Warriors.
Oh, that's right.
Because I knew that, you know, with the Lakers, like people think, oh, they're so great. Like they're going to be so good the first time around. Nah. Like usually the way it works is that they're going to be pretty crappy the first couple of games. And it's prevalent now considering that they faced the Warriors and the Suns, who are probably top three in the West. So I just felt like the Warriors played better game than them, played better ball movement. They have majority of their pieces back from last season with Porter, Bielitsa, and Iggy back, but Iggy's been there, you know, previous times. So they have more chemistry than the Lakers currently do. The adjustment for Russ is tough because, all right, like Russ is just bad right now, like flat out bad. I'm not gonna
defend it.
Change that up. But I think it's gonna be just jitters, nerves, playing for his hometown, and just, you know, getting that situation right, because he usually was the one who is leading the charge. But you have two guys better than you, LeBron and AD, who do that just fine without you. So it's going to be hard for him to adjust. We saw that last night against Phoenix, where he was just kind of like penetrating, being aggressive, which is what he does perfectly fine. So we have to just have that with a mix of passing, more ball movement. So I do think with the Lakers, you know, now going back to yesterday with Phoenix and that whole debacle, it was more of the refs. All right. It sounds like a cheap move. It sounds like a cheap argument, but I really think that I watched the whole game. because it was boggling to me. They weren't getting calls. They were frustrated. They were complaining after their missed baskets, even though they should have gotten back on defense. But I think the refs kind of locked them into that. Like they kind of just flushed them out. And then the Suns are just better cohesively. Like the Lakers, I've noticed with their play, they literally just give it to somebody to ISO, and that's it. Gave it to Melo. He dribbles a lot, you know, pulls up and gave it to Russ, shoots middies for no reason, even though they can't make any of them. He still wants to shoot middies. And then with AD, you have to get him more involved, but I don't think they're there yet in terms of the passing or, you know, all that. So again, it's growing pains. I don't think it'll last that long. With the whole Dwight and AD situation, that was interesting, I have to say, because we've never seen AD kind of leash out like that, or, you know, like get kind of aggressive like that. Dwight, obviously, we know can be an enforcer, an emotional guy, but AD was like, oh man, like that. To cross that line with AD, like you gotta have done something wrong. But my mind immediately went to the top 75 list. But then again, I feel like that's kind of irrational. Like I feel like Dwight is like, oh yeah, he deserves it. But then again, he could also be like, nah, like I should have been it, not you. That kind of thing. Twitter was all about that. They were like, oh, that's Dwight, you know, kind of being mad at AD for being on the list. But I'm like, nah, I mean, it's probably just like an in-game thing. They had a disagreement. Kind of got emotional because everyone's frustrated with the refs, frustrated with the Phoenix doing so well. So I thought it was just mainly like a, you know, just a simple argument, kind of got a little physical. But I mean, apparently they squashed it according to Dwight's post-game interview. So, but yeah, sorry for the long rant about my team, but I'm going to stick it out. I think they're going to be okay. I expect Russ to bounce back and LeBron to just be LeBron, you know?
Two quick things on the Golden State Warriors, because, you know, they played the Lakers first. The thing that stood out to me from the Warriors in general, number one, Jordan Poole. Mm-hmm. Huge leap from last year. Huge leap. And I think he's a big reason why the bench for the Golden State Warriors is a little bit deeper this year. And mm-hmm. we'll kind of get into it a little bit later. I'm going to bring Jordan Poole up again later on in the podcast.
Good.
The other thing I wanted to mention was Bielitsa. Because I was kind of hyped that Miami got him last year, but when I saw him playing, like he just didn't fit. Mm-hmm. I wanted him to succeed. Like I know he's a shooter and I wanted him to shoot, but you see like how systems work now that he's in Golden State, he's just letting it fly. Like he's a great addition to the Golden State Warriors.
He's there. Like he's their five now, right? For their small ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
He's that 4-5, but, you know, yeah, you know, more power to him. In terms of the Lakers, you know, it's just some things I took away from not necessarily the first game, because like you said, first game jitters is going to be rough. Russ is really hard on himself. LeBron was like, don't sweat it. It's one game, you know, like it happens. That's
comedy.
it's like, what the? Yeah.
What were you saying?
Last night, I felt like early on, they were trying to get Russ involved into the offense, which is smart. That's a great coaching move. But I felt like there were some really close calls where like his passes could have been easily turnovers, like early on in the game. And like, we know that he struggled during the preseason with his turnovers. So at least he's starting to get that under wraps. You already mentioned the AD Dwight Howard thing. I won't elaborate further on that. I just kind of wish like I knew what had happened, like why,
yeah.
You know, I think everybody's wondering that, but obviously they're not going to say anything. Lastly, like I understand your point about like the no calls and being frustrated and stuff like that, but there were two instances in that game where LeBron wasn't getting back on defense. One after he got hit in the face and like he didn't really get back on defense. The second one, he blocked, I think it was Cam Johnson.
It was Cam Johnson.
I think he blocked, yeah, he blocked Cam Johnson. Actually,
I'm sorry. He kind of trapped his arm. Didn't touch his arm. He trapped it on the backboard.
Right.
He couldn't really. Yeah. No
right.
ball. Like no.
He prevented Cam from getting the dunk, essentially.
Yeah.
But he didn't get back on defense for that one either, and it was kind of weird. Like he just kind of stayed back there. I don't know if like he's.
I think winded. It was maybe like waiting with Cam in case they did like a long pass to Cam. Maybe I don't know. Like that's what I thought.
Right, but my thinking was, if you run back on offense, you have the advantage because Cam was in the stands. You have a 5-on-4 advantage if he runs back.
That's true.
The other thing that bothered me, like, I get it, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, all right, let me get your take on this real quick. Mm-hmm. Everybody saw the video footage of him and Campaign barking at each other, right? Yeah. Campaign obviously was talking trash. LeBron didn't like it. LeBron said something to the effect of, you know, remember where you were a year and a half ago. You know, stay humble. Yeah. Which in context is like, okay, you know, yeah, he's right. You know, stay humble. Remember where you were. But Campaign, you know, over the course of last season and leading into this season, he's proven himself. He proves that he belongs in this league. Was it more so that, like, my first thinking was like, maybe LeBron is a little bit salty because the Suns have like this huge lead. Why are you picking, like, Campaign doesn't matter. Like, why are you barking at Campaign? Like, mm-hmm. who cares if he's talking trash? Like, he's a nobody. You know what right. I mean? Like, why are you sweating Campaign? So I think it was just, like, frustration. Like, we're talking about with the refs. The team's yeah. not performing well. You're getting blown out by, you know, the team that kicked you out of the playoffs last year. You got mm-hmm. this young buck who wasn't even in the league a year and a half ago, talking smack. Like, obviously, you're going to get frustrated, you know, you're gonna feel right. some type of way.
Lastly, sorry, just one thing to mention also. Two things. Number one, I mean, this rivalry between the Suns and the Lakers has been going on for years now, and it's carried over now into this new era, this new generation, this new team. So with it's the whole revived. Barking, yeah. So like with you know LeBron at Campaign, like it was more of just like frustration. Like I've done that like with my siblings, like when they get me mad, I'm like, you better watch your mouth. You know, you better watch what you're saying. Yeah. But that's just cause like, yeah. I'm kind of frustrated. Not really cause Campaign right. or the other person is like, you know, like deserving of it. You know, I wouldn't say that.
Right. Right.
And then lastly, just the whole game yesterday in general, the Lakers showed no effort the first three quarters, and the last quarter, mm-hmm. they go off, try to cut it down from 30 down to 10 with, Russ, Reeves, Melo, 80, and Braun. Like, they actually showed effort. So I think that game could have been winnable if they had just shown more effort. But I guess they
through the first three quarters.
Yeah, they wanted to like manage their health, the way they're playing. I don't know. But yeah, I'm not gonna sweat it based on these first two games.
I told you about Reeves. I told you.
Yeah, do you know what they're calling him on Twitter?
What are they calling him?
They're calling him AR-15.
I like it. That's like a tribute to Andre Kirilenko. Andre Kirilenko?
Yes. But I mean, literally Austin Reeves, AR, and then his number is 15. Like, that could have been more perfect. You know, like, that's.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. You know about Andre Kirilenko, right? You know what his number was?
No, what was it?
47. So it was AK 47. Yeah. Yeah.
I knew the player's not the number. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Even better.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. He's like the modern day AK-47. I like that.
Great shooter, though. Great shooter. He was bopping off last
night. I get Duncan Robinson vibes from him. I like his playing style, which is why I said he's going to break the rotation. I think he's going to be a steady contributor to that 8-9 rotation.
Closed the game last night.
Yeah, exactly.
He played the whole
quarter. I called it.
You didn't call it. I meant that. Yeah, you called it.
Let's move on to the East. You know, let's switch gears here. Moving on to the East. Same thing. I'll say what my original pick was and what I have now. Originally, I had Brooklyn number one. Now I have Milwaukee number one. Originally, I have Milwaukee number two. Now I have Brooklyn number two. So they just switched. Miami stays the same at three. Originally, I had Philadelphia four, Atlanta five. I switched them.
Okay.
So now it's Atlanta four, Philly five. Toronto, I had six originally. Now I have Chicago. Chicago moved up on my list from seven to six. Seven, I now have the New York Knicks.
Got it.
They had a big win opening night. So they move up on my list one spot. Eight, originally I had the Knicks. Now I have Boston. I have Boston eight. Primarily because I feel like the core that they have, as long as they stay healthy, you know, I have them moving up from eight to nine. So originally I had Boston nine. Now I have Charlotte nine. Originally I had Charlotte 10. Now for 10, I kind of have a tie between Washington and Toronto.
Okay.
I don't know who I want more. Like, I like Toronto. You know, I love Goran Dragic. I love Precious Achiuwa, you know, former Heat guys. But
yeah,
Washington is 2-0 right now. And I'm a big fan of Spencer Dinwiddie. And a lot of people were concerned about, you know, he had major injuries last season, how he would fare this season. And yeah. I'm kind of buying stock on the Wizards right now.
Okay.
So I'm leaning more towards Washington for that 10th and final spot.
That sounds right. Okay. So with my list, I have a few similar teams at similar spots, but number one, I did not change. I have the Bucks. I had that before you, just to make that clear to everyone listening.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
You did.
Sure. two, I have Brooklyn Nets. Three, I have Heat. Four, I have Bulls. Again, this has not changed. The West for me has changed more than the East has. So one Bucks, two Nets, three Heat, four Bulls. Five was Celtics for me last time, but I'm going to move them down later. Five, I'm not going to put the Hawks at five.
Okay.
Six, I'm going to put Knicks.
Oh, seven. Okay. Rapper.
Seven, bars. I'm going to go Sixers, and I'm going to drop Celtics down to eighth.
Okay.
So I have Celtics eight. Nine is Hornets, and then 10 I have Wizards like you do. So very, very similar. You're right. With the Celtics, I feel like they're going to drop. They're going to drop with their new coach.
So you had the Celtics drop. I have them moving up.
Oh.
Yeah. Because originally I had them ninth. Now I have them eighth.
Oh, I mean, that's not a big, you know.
That's not huge. It's not a
league, yeah. They're still in that playing range.
right. Exactly. So for me, right, obviously Milwaukee, I switched to number one because opening game night, they completely owned the Nets, like hard body.
In what ways did they own the Nets? I'm curious. In what ways?
Was it
rim protection? Was it rebounding? You know, I did see Giannis grab six offensive rebounds off of one possession because there was Claxton there and Claxton couldn't, you know, keep up with him. And, you know.
Yes. Yes,
they were getting into the paint a lot. You know, they're getting to the paint a lot because there's no rim protection. You know, yeah. I mentioned that. And, you know, I mentioned that before. Yeah. And you didn't really want to agree with me, so.
Oh man, here we go.
I keep track, yo.
Let me tell you, like the Milwaukee, like Giannis, if he keeps up with this jumper, he's scary, man. That is one scary dude. He's shooting like he's Chris Middleton out there.
Yeah, but that's also tricky. That also means streaky, though.
That's true.
Perry Middleton, yeah.
Did you see the side-by-side of him and Chris Middleton?
Yes.
Creepy.
Looks awfully
so
similar.
So scary. Yeah.
But maybe Chris is, like, showing him his moves. Maybe it's
just sure.
Yeah.
That's just Giannis. Giannis wants to get better every year, you know, so he's definitely trying to get in his bag.
The thing with this jumper, though, is, like, sorry, with this jumper, it's getting there, but you can kind of tell when he's about to launch. Like with Chris, like it's just an automatic snap, you know, like just straight up like already in position. But Giannis, like he goes like a full like down then up, and then, you know, like you know what I mean, like
it's like a step, gather down
exactly.
Up. It's like a dance move almost.
Like bro, they're gonna reach for it and kind of like you know minimize the gap there.
But that's the thing early on, like people aren't guarding it; they're letting him shoot because they don't think he's gonna shoot it.
But now they're gonna have to get up closer,
right? If, you know, everybody, other podcasts are talking about like huge overreactions and everything like that. I could have easily made a huge overreaction with Miami's win over Milwaukee on Thursday night when they blew them out by 42 points in Miami's home opener. But being the Miami Heat fan that I am, but also the realist, I'm like, let me tone it down a little bit. It's Miami's home opener. They're at home, obviously. They got the crowd behind them. Everything was just going their way. Everything was just dropping for them. I mean, you even have Dwayne Dedman hitting threes. So I'm like, come on. Like, how often is this really going to happen?
Wait, question.
Sure.
Do you think that game was a statement game for your Miami Heat?
To them, it was. They got swept by Milwaukee in the playoffs.
I would kind of put some stock into it, though. I would kind of, like, value this game, even though they got blown out. Like, I would kind of, like, be like, oh, shoot, Miami's, like, a contender.
I'm trying to take LeBron's advice and just be humble
All right, touche.
Trying to be humble, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to overshoot. You know what I mean? I don't want to jinx my team because they lost tonight to the freaking Pacers in overtime. Oh man, Philly. I had high originally, but then I dropped them down one spot. They had that game against the Nets. They really did.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they just let it slip away. Props to Brooklyn because they found a way. I know they have like a whole new thing going on there, but like props to them because they found a way to pull it out. And kind of what you were talking about in, you know, with the Suns and Lakers series, I felt like in the Brooklyn Heat and Sixers game, I felt like there were a lot of calls and no calls against Philly. Mm-hmm. Like there was like the out of bounds on Kevin Durant that wasn't called. I felt like that, you know, that should have been Philly's ball.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of fouls that the Sixers didn't get, you know, they didn't go their way, but I mean, that's basketball. That's just how it is.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's more I want to talk about in terms of our standings, but we'll kind of segue into our next segment. And what I wanted to talk about was five big takeaways so far, 1 week into the NBA season. What are, doesn't necessarily have to be five, but if you had five, I feel like I could go first for this one.
Sure. You probably have more of a concrete list than I do right now. I'm going to think about it while you say it.
Sure. So my first one, I'm feeling good about my Tyler Hero pick, him being most improved player.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And I might be so bold to even say he's going to also win Sixth Man of the Year award. And add that in there. Here's my thing. Okay,
What happened to say humble? You were talking about that a couple of minutes ago.
Listen. Okay, let me just plug this real quick. At first, I was very adamant that Tyler Hero is going to win Most Improved Player, and then I saw Jordan Poole in the season opener, and I started to waver a little bit. I'm like, wait a second, Jordan Poole. He's carried over from preseason into the regular season. You know, could he possibly be Most Improved Player? So, but after seeing Tyler Hero against the Bucks, I'm like, okay, no, yeah, it's Tyler Hero. He's going to be Most Improved Player. All throughout the preseason, he's averaged like 20, mid-20s. Tonight, he scored over 30 in a loss. Despite the loss, he dropped 30. Mm-hmm. He's the one who sent the game into overtime. So with that said, I would still have Tyler Hero as Most Improved, but then I would put Jordan Poole as Sixth Man.
There you go. That I agree with. Yes.
It could even be flopped.
No.
Where Jordan Poole Most Improved, Tyler Hero Sixth Man. I can see that also. To me, it's possible. Okay. I'm just putting it out there. Number two for me, I felt like Brooklyn's offseason signings and additions were key to this season. One of the things is everybody's talking about, like, how are they going to work together? They got four power forwards. You know, Bruce Brown is going to be buried somewhere on the bench. Like, how is this going to work? I feel like you saw it in the Sixers game, and I called this before the start of the season. I thought the Patty Mills signing was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And Patty Mills was kind of clutch for them on Thursday night, or last night, rather. I don't know if you saw the play where it was a fast break. Joel Embiid was trying to get a chase down block on Patty Mills. Bro, he had to be running at least like 20 miles an hour. Like he flew to the rim.
Yeah.
And like to run at that speed and hit a layup, like it's not easy. You know what I mean? Because he had to beat obviously Joel Embiid to the rim.
Yeah.
But people are talking about he's old, this and the other thing. Patty Mills he's quick. That dude is quick.
Mm-hmm.
And without Kyrie there, it's just going to give him more opportunities to help Brooklyn, you know, especially coming off the bench. The third one for me was, obviously, we're all aware of the Ben Simmons situation in Philadelphia. I thought Tyrese Maxey was, like, a pretty good or decent replacement for Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Like, in the long run. I like his confidence. He's a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And he defends. I like it.
I'm kind of scared like they're going to put Shake over him for a little bit. I'm kind of scared they might do that, but hopefully they put Maxey.
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm big on Maxey.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, actually staying with the, I'll come back to that one. Number four for me, and I can't wait to get your take on this. My biggest takeaway, my fourth biggest takeaway rather, the LA Lakers were holding Alex Caruso back.
They were holding everyone back. That guy got traded. Low key.
Kyle Kuzma's going off. KCP's going off. Their team is 2-0. Trez is going off. Caruso, he's like a king of Chicago right now with Lonzo. Like, I feel like people, like, I don't even see like LaVine or DeRozan highlights. It's all Lonzo and Caruso. Like, and I'm for it. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Good. Good. Because you're gonna see him pretty late in the playoffs this year.
I don't know about that.
No, but like, I like your take. Caruso is definitely getting more, you know, touches, more responsibility, you know, definitely more highlights for sure on social media.
Oh, 100%.
But yeah, I definitely think like most of the ex-Lakers are doing better in their current spots. I agree with that.
Never mind. I'll say that for another show.
Wow. You're going to pull that, right? Okay. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. It's cool. Dang.
Let me not.
It's going to keep secrets now, huh? Okay. Okay.
No, let me not. Do you know what I was going to say?
No.
Oh, I feel like this kind of hurts LeBron's GOAT argument. I feel like when you think about it, right? When he joined Miami, D Wade and Chris Bosh had to take a back seat. Their production was lower. When he went back to Cleveland, Kyrie and Kevin Love took a back seat. Their production was lower. When he came to LA, you know, certain like Caruso, you see these guys, they're not shining as bright as they could. But whenever he left or whenever they leave, all of a sudden they're like, when LeBron left Miami, Chris Bosh was like dropping, he was averaging 30 points a game. You know?
Yeah.
When he look at Kyrie, like he's definitely like in a league of his own.
Wait. Let me kind of ask this and put it this way. Did Caruso get better, or is what he brings to the table more valuable to Chicago?
I don't think he necessarily got better, which is why I'm saying I feel like LA held him back. I feel like he's now able to showcase what he has. Because when you think about it, when he was in LA, he was the primary ball handler.
Yeah.
And obviously the offense for the majority of the time was run through LeBron. Now in Chicago, you have Lonzo there, who's the primary ball handler. Caruso could just get up and down the court as freely as he wants, you know, as a running gun with them. And I think they're just collectively a better defensive unit. They're scrappy defensively. Mm-hmm. I think they just kind of hype each other up. They're young. They're young. They got the fresh legs for it. I'm all about it.
Is that your five, or do you have one more?
I have one more. This is a two-parter. Number one, Danny Green should no longer be in the NBA. My man's airballed 5 straight threes. Like, 4 of them were wide open.
Yo, why are they deferring to Danny Green in the clutch? I will never understand that. Did they not see in the bubble last year? the most openness of open shots.
Literally, the game with the Philadelphia 76er fans were booing him at home. That should tell you something. When you airball 5 in a row, that was really bad. Last thing for me was Miami is, I feel like in his past life, Pat Riley must have been like, I don't know, what do you call him? A diamond miner? You know what I mean? Like people who mine for diamonds or whatever. Because Miami just finds like all these diamonds in the rough that turn out to be great products for them. Like you look at Duncan Robinson, Kendrick Nunn, you know, previous year. Now you have guys like Max Strus, who was on the team last year, Gabe Vincent, they were on the team last year, but they took a leap this year. Mm-hmm. Everybody saw Max Strus's block on Nuora against the Bucks that led to Tyler Hero hitting that dagger three.
Yeah.
And then you got a whole bunch of these guys that you don't really hear too much about that are just killing it. Tyler Hero's making the leap. And what makes me a little bit excited about the Miami Heat this year, let me just add this. Miami lost tonight to the Indiana Pacers. Kyle Lowry did not play. I feel like if he plays, it's a different story.
For sure.
But with that said, to me, I don't, I, you probably, I don't know if you've seen any of the Miami Heat games, but to me,
not yet,
they just look fresher. Like Bam has fresh legs. Like his shoulder looks good. Jimmy, he just looks fresh. Everybody just looks super fresh. And I think that's because of, you know, that's the quick turnaround from the 2020 playoffs when they're in the NBA finals to the start of the 21 season. And you play like, you know, 72 straight games or whatever leading into the playoffs and you get swept in the playoffs. I felt like it's, you know, that's tough to do. That's hard. Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited for them. I mean, I had them third. I don't think they're going to get higher than third. I could even see them drop because like LeBron James, Miami Heat is that type of team where it doesn't matter where they fall. As long as they get into the playoffs, you know, they do their thing. Heat culture all the way. All the way. Oh, and think about it. Let me add this. Because I said about, you know, LeBron and everything like that. I feel like players who used to play for Miami, once they leave, there's a drop off. Hassan Whiteside. I just saw highlights not too long ago where, like, people forget he there was a game where he had a triple double with blocks. He had 10 blocks in a game. Mm-hmm. And he was known for his snatch blocks, which is, I feel like, even more disrespectful where you just grab it out of the air. He leaves Miami. What happens? You don't hear him anymore. People don't even realize he plays for the Utah Jazz right now. Like, it's.
I knew.
Do you know where he was before that?
Sacramento.
Yeah. And before
Stop playing with me. Oh, before that, no, I have no idea. No.
He was in Portland.
Portland. Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
There's Kendrick Nunn. I haven't heard any Kendrick Nunn stories since he's, you know, joined the Lakers. Mario Chalmers.
Sorry, real quick. He's currently injured. Uh-huh. Nunn's injured.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
There's me doing my research. Mario Chalmers, when he left the team, he fell off. Norris Cole, I think he went to go play in China after that. He was part of that championship team. After Norris Cole, Mario Chalmers.
I mean, James Jones. He's currently the executive of the Phoenix Suns.
James Jones. Okay. but he followed LeBron to Cleveland.
Yeah, and they won another one.
You're right. But like you got guys like Justice Winslow, James Johnson. I mean, now he's on a formidable team in Brooklyn. There's another one that was a big one, like Kelly Olynyk. You know, it sucks that Kelly left or got traded away. Mm-hmm. There was one more I wanted to bring up that is no longer. Well, Goran, I feel like he can still contribute to the Raptors in some way, shape, or form. But there was another big name that played for Miami, but once he left,
Birdman, Ray Allen.
You never heard from him again. There's Birdman? Bam.
Birdman, you said?
No.
Okay.
No.
Sorry.
Oh, well. I can't remember. But it was along the lines of like that Mario Chalmers, Norris Cole type of deal where like they were kind of all there together at the same time. But again, once they leave Miami, you never hear from them again. Nobody knows what happens to them. Just disappear. Lastly, before we sign off here, I just wanted to get your quick take. Did you want to add anything? Anything that stood out to you?
Do you want my five? I mean, I have a quick five. It wouldn't take too long. So, number one, the East is looking better than the West in terms of the talent, in terms of the competition. I think the East is more competitive. It's got definitely more exciting. Yeah. Number two, the Warriors are back, man. The Warriors are back.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I don't think they're going to be in the play-in this year. It'll be at least top five. And even if Clay comes back, they're going to be all right with, you know, Jordan Poole.
They're deeper.
Yeah. Oddly, Damian Lee. You know, I'm like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they're going to be fun to watch with Steph Curry. I think he'll probably break the record. Will he break the record this year? I think he's going to be like one something left. You know, yeah. Number three, I like Atlanta Hawks, man. The Hawks have a great young core. I think that they're going to make another leap and kind of like, because everyone wants to consider the Bucks, the Suns, the Hawks, and the Clippers like, oh, you know, it was riddled with injuries. Like, you know, your play doesn't count. But looking at where everyone is now, except for the Clippers, Bucks, Suns, and Hawks, they have
they're legit.
They have a good enough chance to even go back to where they were or back to where they finished off. Speaking with that, my fourth one is going to be pretty crazy, but it kind of, I mean, right now premature, but I kind of see it. I think that a Bucks Hawks rematch in the Eastern Conference Finals is pretty, you know, pretty realistic. I mean, the Bucks definitely are going to be there, but I do think Atlanta can make that leap if they have you know, Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter, Kevin Herter. They have Gorgui Dieng now, who is also a good pickup for them as well. I think they're going to be good for the East. And then my last take is about Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to miss Kyrie. I think they're not going to be as good without him there. I'm going to say right now that I do not think that Kyrie is going to get vaccinated. He's going to sit out the whole season. he's pretty firm on his stance. Apparently, to reports, he's going to make at least $17 million sitting at home. So I don't think he'll be all right.
Basically, no, yeah. He's not sweating. Yeah.
So I think Brooklyn is going to struggle for a good part of the season and have to figure out for the end, as they probably accept Kyrie won't come back. But you're right. Patty Mills is currently perfect from 3-point range right now with 10 of 10. So
can we talk about LaMarcus Aldridge? Like he killed. He had more than 20 points. He had a double double.
That's right. Yeah,
LaMarcus.
I think coming up big. He got a start over Claxton. Man, Claxton cannot keep up with Embiid or Giannis. I mean, probably with the other teams, but yeah,
right.
But yeah, I've said my piece about Lakers. I won't include them. They've been the entire first half of our episode, so I'm good with that. But yeah, those are my five takes. Winning with the East.
Real quick, going back to your Hawks take. They're winning even without Danilo Gallinari. Like, he hasn't been in the mix yet.
Yeah. That's right. He's out. Yeah.
So they're a scary team. And Lou Will. East is definitely scary. And Lou Will. Before we end the show, I just wanted to get your take on, obviously, everybody knows that the NBA released their 75th anniversary team. There's 25 new additions, obviously, from the 50th. Everybody's been talking about the snubs. To you, were there any names that stood out to you that were not on this list? We mentioned one earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get your take on that. That being Dwight Howard. What was your take on Dwight Howard not being on the list?
I mean, when you make that sole comparison to AD and both their resumes, like, yeah, it's night and day. Like, what has the other one accomplished? You know, but what I'm more upset about is Dame making the list. I don't know why, but like, looking at Dame, I do not think he should be top 75. Like, I don't know why he's in the list. I mean, maybe because of like, what, a shot? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
The biggest stunt for me though is Klay Thompson. So, I mean, swap out Dame for Klay, I think I'll be happy with the list. I think with Dwight, it's more so of his off-court, his off-court endeavors that made him, you know, kind of not appealing for the list. I mean, think about it, though, like, it's entirely subjective, though. We've got media personnel voting on it. I think, I guess, NBA, you know, essential people voting for the top 75. So I don't want to put too much stock in it. I mean, it's obviously a huge honor because it's an official title, your top 75.
Right.
But Dame and AD making that list over Dwight and Klay is kind of a robbery. Also, there's Vince Carter, Mutombo. I forget the other names on the list, but Grant Hill, you know, I mean, like, for those kind of, I think Ray Allen too didn't make the list either. So again, it's like entirely subjective. But at the end of the day, it's a list, you know, people have their own lists. It doesn't really matter that much, but I would still have a great honor though, for sure.
It's wild to me that, so at first when I saw Dwight Howard, like, oh, Dwight Howard's a snub. I was like, is he though? Like, I was thinking about it, but I'm thinking that, you know, this recency bias, like, it all went downhill for him when he left Orlando.
Yeah.
Because you go Orlando, LA the first time, Houston, Charlotte, then he went to Washington, and then his second stint with the Lakers, and then he went to Philly, and now he's back with the Lakers for his third stint. I feel like being a journeyman kind of hurt that image of him making the list. But when you look, there was a time period where for – 5 or 6 seasons, I remember very vividly, he was arguably like top 5 player in the league
mm-hmm.
from like 2008, 2008 to like 2012, 2013.
For sure. Yeah.
I mean, all the awards that he won, like my man's brought the Orlando Magic to the NBA Finals against Kobe Bryant and the Lakers. Like they had to go through LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in a time period where the NBA, Nike, everybody was trying to force and manifest a Cleveland and LA NBA Finals. They even had like those puppet commercials where there's LeBron and Kobe trying to, you know, like, and it never happened. And I just feel like Dwight Howard kind of got the raw end of the deal. I think he should have been on the list. Another one that stood out to me, you mentioned, was Vince Carter. I'm like, how do you leave Vince Carter off this list? Like, this guy was amazing. He played in four different decades.
Yeah.
He played in the 90s, 2000s, 2010s, and the 2020s.
And then arguably like the greatest dunker of our, you know, of all time.
Basically. Exactly.
Arguably. Yeah. You know.
Arguably. And then T-Mac, who was one of the most prolific scorers of the era. Like, this guy was multiple-time like scoring champion, force to be reckoned with. Everybody hated having to play against him. Granted, he had injuries and stuff like that, but he was still one of the most deadly scorers that this game has seen.
Yeah.
And he didn't even get mentioned on the list.
They put Dame on that list, bro. They put Dame.
Klay, I feel like, Klay, because he got some rings and stuff like that. But like Klay, I feel like he's not quite there yet. Because the first ring that they won, if you remember, you know, the final game, he had like, I don't know, I think it was like 5 points. He shot like 0 for 9 or something like that.
It was that meme where it was like, you're in the group project.
Yes.
And you just kind of like do another work and then you get the
bare minimum.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, that was my take on. I feel like those three, T-Mac, Vince Carter, Dwight. I didn't even realize Ray Allen wasn't on the list. I mean, he's a 2-time NBA champion. He wasn't on the list.
I thought, is he or is he not? I didn't really check that. Let me see real fast.
Jesus Shuttlesworth. If nobody's seen He Got Game, I highly recommend it.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was on the list. Sorry. Just the.
Okay.
Yeah. We're good. We're good.
But yeah, definitely those three. Those three were big for me. This is before we sign off. Anything you want to plug? Anything you want to add? Anything we left out?
No, the Lakers will be fine. Everyone, it's my one last.
I agree. I think they'll be all right. They'll figure it out. Russ typically just has slow starts this season. We saw the last 2 years. He'll be fine. Before I go, again, we're not sponsored by them, but shout out to Yankee Candle for making my room smell like a Michael's. I absolutely love it. Very man, festive.
You are in paradise right now, aren't you?
You already know, man. All right, Nat. Thanks for joining, bro. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Can't wait for the next one. For everyone listening at home, thank you so much for your continued support. Stay tuned for the next episode. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy. We'll catch you guys next time.
This has been a Fuse Podcast original produced by yours truly, Nat, with music by Johnny C.